As we enter a time of prayer this morning, I want to call your attention to the two prayer quilts. Please tie a knot, say a prayer, sign the card so that they know that our church and our congregation is wrapping them in love and prayers. Now will you join me in an attitude of prayer? Good and gracious God, Creator of all things, yea, God, we come before you this morning to praise you, to give you thanks, to feel your love. We keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. In this time, when we think about what our spiritual gifts are, we remember to be thankful for you and your blessings and our gifts. Help us to recognize what our spiritual gifts are and show us how to use those gifts to help others and fill their lives with your love. We give thanks for the many blessings that you have given to us, our friends, our family, our neighbors, and the ability to love them as you do, to care for each other, to show your love to those that need it. We pray for those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues. Those that have lost loved ones. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. We want them to understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. That you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. Father, we pray for guidance for all in need in our communities, in our state, across the nation, and across the world that have suffered due to conflicts going on in our lives, both near and far from our homes. Bless our leaders and give them the guidance to use the gifts that you have given them, that the decisions they make might be tempered with your love. Give them strength to make the decisions that will give us hope. Guide them with your mercies, that your love may fill their hearts, that your love may be shown through them, that your love may be felt by others that might otherwise seem to harm us and disrupt our daily lives. We pray for those in need of clean water and pray that they will get what they need. But we remember that Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now we ask that you hear our prayer as we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you with our requests and concerns in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
The reading of God's word comes from 1 Corinthians. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is the word of God for the people of God.
David. Good morning. The last few weeks, Pastor Sherry has been taking us through these readings from Corinthians. We've been learning about our spiritual gifts, what they are, who has them, all of us. And now we're looking at what it is we're going to be doing with those spiritual gifts. As part of that, there was prepared a spiritual gifts assessment booklet. Many of you have taken that assessment and turned in the results. Someone just handed me one after last service. If you haven't done so, I encourage you to do so. Chris, if you would put the graph up, I can show you some of the results. So you can see of the 19 gifts, there are some that we are quite strong in. And so we have lots of folks in this community who have reported the gifts of mercy and helps and faith, and quite a few administrators as well. Probably why we run as well as we do, why we have the outreach ministries that we do, and why we have continued to look for ways to be of service in this community and in the greater community at large. You also are going to notice that there's some that have very little representation. Last week, Pastor Sherry talked about the fact that all the parts of the body are needed for the body to function well, and if some parts aren't healthy or aren't there, then the body does not function well, and the body is not well. So I want to encourage us to continue, if you haven't already turned in an assessment survey, to please do so. If you know somebody who you think might have some of these gifts, we need them to be part of this congregation. All of the parts of the body are vital and must be here. I want you to know that standing here as ordained clergy in the United Methodist Church, my gifts are not any more valuable, my presence not any more important than all of yours. One of the things that I like about United Methodist Polity is that they have continued from their very beginning to believe that clergy, those that are set apart for specialized ministry, serve equally and alongside everybody else, the laity, the people that make up the congregations themselves. And so all of us together create this body that of worshiping community that we call Brighton First. So again, thank you for those who have turned in those surveys. If not, you will find more outside. The front page of the bulletin this morning tells you that we have a mission statement. It says that our mission, I know people are flipping now to look, good, is to know God and to serve God and to love God. We're going to offer those small group opportunities to begin that knowing God. And today we're going to hear a little bit more about what it means to serve God. And so as we prepare for hearing today's scripture, breaking it down a little bit, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be found pleasing to you. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as you remember Pastor Sherry telling us, Paul writes letters to congregations that are having issues. And there were some problems with these understanding in this church of spiritual gifts. And so he ends this chapter 12 talking about listing of the gifts and that not everybody has every gift. The reason that he does this is because the people in the community were elevating certain gifts to a level and believing that those people had a more special place than anybody else. And I'll give you a hint, if you read through that list at the bottom of chapter 12, you'll see the bottom one is the one that was causing the biggest problem. He made sure that in his list, he put them at the bottom. But he did something also as he began the next chapter. He uses a literary device called I statements. And so if you have taken literature classes, writing classes, you know that you use an I statement to put yourself in the place in the hopes that your hearers would then put themselves in the same statement. And so Paul begins by saying, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, if I have the gift of prophecy, if I. He qualifies each of those by saying that without love, they are nothing. For Paul, love and God are the same thing. Paul believes that we love each other because God first loved us. And that love is to be reflected in us and through us to the people around us. Anything done without that love or without God, in Paul's opinion, is done in vain. Paul wants the congregation in the church to understand that they were given gifts not to make themselves better than anybody else, but for the good of the whole group, for the edification and the building up of the community. Gifts were given. It was meant that those gifts would be shared with the people in the community. Finding out how to share one's gifts is sometimes challenging. Now, maybe if you have taken the survey, you found you might have a gift that you were a little surprised about, didn't recognize that in yourself. Or maybe you looked at it and went, oh, that's exactly who I am. But I want to challenge you today to think about how you use those gifts as a member of this congregation. It's a difficult thing to find out where one's call is. And people with much better degrees and much more experience than I have written books and blogs and magazine articles to tell you how to find the passion in your life and to go for it. I'm not here to tell you this morning that you need to pray to God and your whole life is going to change. You probably aren't going to be asked to leave your family to go off to start a mission in some far-flung country. Probably aren't going to be asked to make major changes. Maybe even not asked to go to seminary, although I'm here to tell you that that can happen. when you ask God what it is you're supposed to do, you might get a surprising answer. I talked to the children about their passion this morning. What are they passionate about? One of the ways that we use our gifts is in an area that we feel passionate about. We are passionate about a lot of things, and my guess is if I did an informal survey right now and asked for what it is you're passionate about, I would get answers about a certain university, a certain sport or team representing that sport, major league or otherwise. You might tell me about your fishing experience, your boat, something that you spend your leisure time on. My guess is, and as I told the children, we wouldn't necessarily find too many people who would say, I'm passionate about my faith or this church as the number one thing that they're passionate about. I think that stems from the fact that we have so many negative images of passionate, faith-filled people. So the guy on the street corner screaming that the world is coming to an end and we must repent is an image we might hold of someone who's passionate about their faith. Or that television evangelist who says, just send me your money. God will bless you if you bless me first by sending all of your spare money to me. Perhaps you have had an encounter with somebody who peppers every sentence with praise the Lord, even when you're only discussing your grocery list. Yeah, it's a bit of a turnoff, okay? We hold many of those negative images, and so we have a fear of becoming that image, okay? God, don't ask me to do that because I'm afraid of what my family might think. Gee, what if I sign up to teach Sunday school? My kids are gonna go, you were a terrible teacher when you were our mom. What makes you think you can teach kids? Maybe you want to go on a week-long mission trip and you tell your family, instead of going on vacation this year, we're all going to go to Henderson Community and work for a few days as part of that. Might not get the reaction you might think, okay? Those kinds of fears stop us sometimes from stepping out and having our faith and our passions and our gifts lead us into things. It's a difficult thing to focus in and find that passion and apply it to what it is that God might be calling us. We're going to have an opportunity coming up during Lent. Pastor Sherry is going to be talking to us, and we're going to be asked to slow down. And slowing down is a great opportunity to practice some spiritual disciplines that can help in your deciding where God might be calling you to use your gifts here in the community. Maybe you're going to give up Facebook, some computer game that you play. Maybe you're going to shut off the TV an hour a day. I would encourage you to spend that time having a conversation with God. Go take a walk. Let your mind look and appreciate God's creation, but ask God what it is that he might be wanting from you at this time. You might want to spend time talking to some trusted friends about your spiritual gifts and how they see you exhibiting those gifts already in your life and in this church. I want to tell you two stories about putting your passions and your spiritual gifts and God's call together. There was a gentleman who absolutely loved snow skiing. He would spend every day out on the slopes if he could, every chance he got. Didn't matter if it was here or out in the mountains out west, wherever. He loved snow skiing, and he wanted to take as many people with him down those slopes as he could. He was always inviting people to be with him. This gentleman also had the spiritual gifts of encouragement and compassion. He had a great gift, a great love in his heart for people who were challenged physically and could not enjoy the outdoors. That person put all of those gifts and passions together and now teaches people through adaptive skiing how to snow ski, whether they've got one leg or not, whether they're missing their arms, whatever their physical disability is. He helps them enjoy that sport that he's passionate about. A long time ago here at the church, I led some classes on finding your spiritual gifts, and one of the sessions was on passion. One of the members who was in that class found out by surprise, they were quite surprised, that their gift was intercession. And so they talked to some people about that and how they might have seen that gift. And that person came and talked to the clergy and said, I want to have a deeper connection to this faith community, this new church that I'm a part of. And so with those gifts and that passion, she started a prayer ministry here. They meet once a week, right back in that quiet room. For about an hour and a half, they infuse and surround everything associated with this church in prayer. They pray for the missions, the members, the clergy. Anything that happens around or is connected to this church is bathed in their prayer. And I can tell you from a staff perspective, it makes a difference. We know that it does, feeling those prayers. So it is possible to combine all of those things, your passion and your gifts, in that time that you give back to God, the time that you give to this church as part of your membership and your commitment to be here, to share your gifts and your talents and your witness. Another way to help you to work through and define what it is that you want to be a part of here at the church is an ancient church practice was started by St. Ignatius, and I'll let you go ahead and Google him. He's an interesting character. But he had a discernment process that he led his monks through and his followers through that is still used today. And the basis of it is based on two terms, consolation and desolation. So for St. Ignatius, consolation meant that your life was oriented towards God, that your behaviors, your actions, everything kept you facing God and moving towards God in a life full of that, the things of God that God wanted you to have. And desolation would be the opposite of that. Your actions and your words and your behaviors sent you in a direction away from God. And your life was not filled with the things of God. St. Ignatius would say that when you were in a place of desolation, that you were in a place of darkness, that you had self-doubts, that you were depressed, that your energy levels would be low. So think about something you might be involved in where the meeting or the activity goes on and on and on, and you're pretty sure that the second coming is going to happen before this meeting gets over. You might be working in an area of desolation. If, when you are finished with a task, you have drained so much energy that you can barely make it home from that activity or that meeting, you might be in a place of desolation. So contrast that with consolation. If you're involved in an activity and you totally lose track of time, and the time has flown by so fast, you started at 9 in the morning and suddenly it's 3 in the afternoon and you forgot to stop for lunch, you haven't paid any attention to your phone, and you just are amazed at how fast that time flies. You might be working in an area where you are in consolation, where you have more energy at the end of the task than you did at the beginning. 2 years ago at the Redbird Mission, I was privileged enough to be part of a team that was re-roofing one of the buildings on campus. And I say privileged because there weren't very many people who were willing to go up on the ladder and get on the roof. And I was. It was hard work. We were tearing off old shingles, pulling nails, trying not to fall. It was a little steeper than we had envisioned. And I was thankful, A, that I got off the roof on the ladder and not by falling. But afterwards, as hard a work as it was, I had so much energy. I had such a blast being up there and doing that. Last year when we went, our group was assigned, the women in our group were assigned to stay in that building. Let me tell you, I was really glad to have been part of that project and being sleeping under that roof that I now knew was not going to leak on us like it had on previous visitors. It gave me such great joy to be a part of that ministry. So when you are looking at your spiritual gifts, when you're looking at what you might be passionate about, you saw the groups up here that we had, it's no wonder why during the VCI process, we were told that we were a very welcoming congregation. We have a lot of folks with the gift of hospitality here. We have a lot of people who have the gift of helps, which means they're willing to jump in and do whatever it is that we're asked of them. I've mentioned many times that when I call to ask for people to help with a project here, I don't have to make too many phone calls. I get an awful lot of yeses to start with. And that shows through that, people using their gifts to do that. What I want to do this morning is give you all permission to push past the fears, to push past my parents said that was a silly thing to do when I was a kid. I never, people told me that I wouldn't be good at that. If you are discerning from God a call to be part of a ministry here, please say yes and give it a try. If it's not something that's been done here before, no problem. Let's get it started. If it's doing something we've always done in a new way, let's get going and get it started. Let's get this congregation so passionate that we are excited. Maybe we're not going to take our shirts off and paint our chests or hang, banners from the roof, but maybe we're going to come in and be so excited to tell people about what's happening in this church. Maybe you're going to be part of the Vena Dental Clinic And you're going to tell people about the good work that goes on there with people who can't afford dental care. Maybe you're going to be part of Gleaner's Food Bank and make this community of Brighton a better place to live. Maybe you're simply going to weed the gardens and make this church facility look its best. All of those parts are necessary. All of those pieces come together to make this faith community what it's meant to be. But as Paul reminded us, doing any of it without God and without love would be doing it in vain. And so that greatest gift that God wants us to have is God's love. And we're to share that gift with everybody that we know. God is essential in this process. Please take the time to pray. Think about, be in touch with God. Love is the other essential. Everything we do has to be bathed in God and God's love. God's love for us and God's love for all of creation. We're the variables. We get to choose. We get to step out and be the faithful disciples that Christ calls us to be in looking out for others' needs before our own. So, I want to challenge you as you look at this mission statement to get serious about being an enthusiastic, spirit-filled, love-filled follower of Christ. We've got God. We've got this church behind us. All we need is love. All we need is love. All we need is love. Love. Love is all we need. Amen.